This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. And if you're on YouTube, it's kind of a new experience. Look, I decorated. Hey, Tom, are you watching? Are you looking? It doesn't look like a closet anymore. Hey, my name's DJ. This is Brightside Home Theater. And like I said, we talk about the experiences we have in our theaters and all the fun that we have, the scenes, the movies we like to watch. And this week we have a monster of a movie. Hey, you see what I did there? Monster Hunter from 2020 in 4K. And I can't wait to get to that for you guys. It was so much fun. I'll talk about it more there. It's not a movie I would have said, hey, I can't wait to see that. I had almost zero desire to see it, but I had a feeling this would be a good home theater experience. And it is. So I'll get more into that later. But hey, in the meantime, let's get the pleasantries out of the way. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can go to the website and you can, the website, sorry, is brightsidehometheater.com, and you can leave a comment under each of the episodes or under each of the featured theaters. And we're also on YouTube. And please go there and subscribe. Really appreciate that. That is growing by leaps and bounds. Thank you for that. But back to the featured theaters. Please go there. Leave a comment to any and all of the featured theaters we have. These people work really hard on these theaters. And it's great to get comments, suggestions, ideas, anything you have. Or let them know you took an idea from their theater. That'd be great, too. But we are also on, I am also on Patreon now. You can just go to Patreon and search Brightside Home Theater. You'll find me there. And they'll take your money, give most of it to me, a little bit to themselves, of course. They don't do this out of the kindness of their heart. But it's a minimum of $1 a month. And you can give as much as you want or as little as you want, as long as it's $1 a month. Any amount is greatly appreciated, but it's absolutely not required. I actually feel bad about asking, but everybody keeps telling me, why not? Because what's the worst that can happen? You're already at zero. But I'm not at zero. I'm at 13. I have 13 Patreon supporters. Thank you very much to all 13 of my supporters. Now, I've been at 13 for a few weeks now, a couple of weeks now. I'd like just one person. That's all I ask. Let's get off of 13. Now, I know one of the 13 could drop out and we'd be down to 12, and I don't want to go in the backwards direction. So I'm begging for 14. It's a buck. It's a buck, people, just to get me off this unlucky number. I'm just kidding. All the support is great, whether it's this, whether it's with money, with the comments that everybody's making, or all the comments on Twitter. And this week we have a new Twitter follower, my buddy Justin. Justin Sluss from High Def Disc News runs a great website, great Twitter feed. He does in-depth, you know, analysis of the digital bits and everything like that. It's crazy. Stuff that's way over my head. Talked to him before. The conversations him and I have had on the phone they're insane because we just keep going and going and going. So had him on the podcast early on, and then we just kind of drifted apart for a little bit. It was a busy time. COVID hit, all of this stuff. And, you know, we've been in touch all along, but yeah, great guy. Thank you, Justin, for finally. You didn't have to follow me because we follow each other through Brightside, and you didn't have to follow me this way, but I really appreciate it. That's his personal account he followed me on, so thank you very much. And so let's get to a little bit of what kind of... Wait a minute. Sorry, I forgot to do this last week at the beginning of the show. Another way to support the podcast, merch. You can buy T-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, stickers. I think they're $2. Just go to TeePublic. Links are in the show notes. Links are on the website. TeePublic. Search home theater, and I think I pop up. I searched home theater from somebody else's phone, and Brightside Home Theater popped up. at T Public. So how cool is that? I was like, I like that. But there's four different styles for T-shirts. We have the regular style, which is what I'm wearing right now, is a sweatshirt. I wanted to wear one of my new ones, but it's freezing here today because we had a snowstorm. But then we also have these ones here. If you're looking on YouTube, the front has the little logo and the back has a logo and says, go ahead, make my day. Ask me about my home theater. Little play on words from Sudden Impact. And then I'll be back when I'm done in my home theater, which is a little play from Terminator. And then we have my favorite, COVID Bunker, is crossing out home theater. So it's the Bright Side COVID Bunker. Ugh, easy for me to say. So that's another way you could support the podcast. And that one to me would be like, that's fantastic, because now everybody's getting to know. That one, they're going to know you're into home theater. And two, they're going to be like, what's Bright Side? And then you get to talk about me and promote me. And that'd be pretty cool. People tell me to do this. I don't like doing this. This is the worst part of the show. So I really appreciate anybody that would buy anything that has anything to do with me. Thank you very much. So my week, sorry, this is so late. This podcast is coming out late. It is now it's after 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Typically I like these done by Thursday night so that I can, I produce everything. I still have probably an hour or two of work of producing this show to get it out to everybody. I'm hurrying, trying to do it. But what I did is I tried to buy a Rodecaster Pro for my podcasting abilities, for my podcasting, because the show I do with my buddy, he's in Texas, I'm here, gets hard to do a lot of things, so I have to import him, but then he doesn't get to hear the sounds, and now I wanted to be able to incorporate and simplify, and it only made everything more complicated. It got worse because of other things that I have to do here, so it screwed my whole week up. It set everything back. My computer, everything. It was just a really, really bad week, but here I am. And then on top of that, I got a new phone. And all of the fun that comes with that, because you get a new phone, you got to import everything back over. It's sorry, but that's why this is late. So I like to be hands-on, and this hands-on screwed everything up this week, so I apologize. And we got a snowstorm. So today, while I was working on this podcast, I had to go out and shovel snow every couple hours because we got like 5 inches of heavy, wet snow, and my snowblower has been put away. So, and with all of this, a listener DMs me this week and asks me if I'd do a Discord channel. I would love to. I barely know what it is. It's funny that he DM'd me about it, because I'm just learning what it is. And I hear it's a pretty good idea and nice way to communicate, create more of a community, which that's what I like to do here. And so maybe that'll be coming in the future. Maybe not. Maybe streaming might be coming. I might do some streaming once a month for Patreon supporters. So if you get onto Patreon, I might sit down with everybody and I'll schedule a time that's best, and I'll sit down and take questions, and we'll just talk home theater and hang out, something like that. These are ideas that I have that I'm exploring, but I'm trying to get my workflow simplified before I take on another big project like that. So any ideas, let me know, because people are letting me know anyways. So if I ask, maybe I'll get more, but I'm trying. I am trying. So, all right, let's get on to movies of the week. Let's see. Movies and scenes of the week. Wonder Woman 1984 in 3D. I watched it in 3D this week. Let me tell you about this movie in 3D. The opening scene is fantastic. That's it. Thank you and good night. I'm just kidding. The movie did look good. The 4K movie, it wasn't fantastic. It's got some good surround sound in it, but I didn't think the image was that good. So I watched it in 3D, and the 3D image was pretty good at times. But like I said, the opening scene is absolutely fantastic. It's like you're on a ride. So you're watching, young Wonder Woman run through the forest and everything and do her competition and all of that. And everything looked great. And the entire gauntlet that she's running was really cool and looked great in 3D. But it wasn't, the rest of the movie was just, So I don't know. That's the best I had for this week. So for a movie. Oh, finally. There we go. Let's see. Listener comments. Excuse me. Listener comments this week. Logitech officially discontinues its Harmony remotes. The company will continue support for existing remotes as long as customers are using them. This is tough. This came as an email, I believe, from Carl. But yeah, this is a tough one. People, I'm upset, but I'm not. I love my Logitech. And I already saw, we're recording this later in the week, I already saw that the AV Rant is doing 6 remotes that we can use, we can look into to replace our Logitechs, our Harmonies. So maybe that's good. And what I said online was, you never know. It's like, I've had my Harmony for so long. I love it. I had remotes before that I liked even more, but the Harmony is just so simple and we're just so used to it. Maybe there is something better out there, but we won't know unless we try. And if you're so stuck on, you never get to experience anything else if you stick with that. So maybe this is a blessing in disguise, or maybe somebody will buy them out and actually expand the remote. Maybe there'll be more possibilities with it. Who knows? I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to exploring. I think, what was the other with the six hugs? I think it's called. I saw on AV Rant. I'm interested in that one to see what that one's like. That looks pretty interesting to me. But yeah, the Logitech Harmony, they said they're going to support us as long as the customers are using them. And us home theater people are using them. So it seems to be the most popular remote among home theater people. So, let's see. Next one. Here we go. This one here. Todd Anderson at AV Woofer put out a question this week. Doing research for an upcoming review, name a movie or movies that you want to see released on Blu-ray or 4K. Please tag titles with BD or 4K. I needed to see, when this question comes up, my answer to him, he tagged me in this one. My answer, it always is The Abyss. And that's for two reasons. It deserves a 4K rendering. Absolutely. We need that. And I need the uncut version, not the theatrical version. I want to see everything because the movie is so much deeper than what the theaters showed. It's with everything with the aliens under the water and it's just a really cool story there that never got fleshed out in the theatrical version. But seeing this in 4K and hopefully with Cameron utilizing the larger aspect ratio, the taller, I should say, the 4:3 aspect ratio. And that's what I had said. And I got into a little discussion on Twitter on what they used. And it wasn't regular 4:3. It was 35mm, which is basically it's 4:3. It's a taller shot. And then they crop it down. Directors like to use that so that they can actually have more footage and adjust their film, just the scene accordingly. But James Cameron stated back at when these came out to the home in VHS and Laserdisc that he liked having the 4:3 available so that he could open it up, because at the time people didn't like the bars at the top and the bottom. They like to have the taller, the pan and scan look on VHS, because people didn't want their little TVs at the time. 32 inch was a home theater TV. They didn't want those TVs shrunk down with bars at the top and the bottom. Real home theater fans like us would have laser discs or whatever, and we wanted those bars because that was what it was supposed to look like. And speaking of that, that's part of my open. And if anybody can let me know what part of my open, if I haven't already told you guys, I can't tell. All of those images at the opening have a meaning to them, by the way. And that open on YouTube, that open, there's images in there that has to do with the 4:3 and pan and scan. So let me know if you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, so back to this. I would love to see The Abyss. I would love to see it restored. I'd love to see it widescreen, like the tall 4x3 or at least 16x9. I think that would be great. Really looking forward to that. And there's always rumors that it's coming. It's been talked about for years. I still have my DVD version, and that's it. If they're going to put it out, they can't do it on Blu-ray. They have to do it 4K. Why would you just put Blu-ray? But I'd take either right now. All right. At Geekvine, Martin, my buddy Martin. Hey, Brightside HT, I feel like your latest one is made for me. And I was like, what are you referring to? Because this was over the weekend. And if any of you guys are following me over on YouTube, I put out a video on the most important thing to remember when getting into home theater, the most important thing to know. And it is, I think it's a fact. I think this is the most important thing, and it's to keep it simple. And because there's so much information, there's so much money to be spent. See that in the video. So I thought I'd make a video about that. And the response has been really, really good. So I'm going to be doing, this doesn't really pertain to most of my listeners. We're already into home theater. You guys already know the answers to these questions. But I'm going to do a series of how to keep things simple, why to keep things simple on each step, and how you can grow from there. Because there's plenty of places online to go, and you can Google anything or search anything, search YouTube, search Google, whatever, on how to do something. But it gets so complicated. So I thought, like, I'm looking at, on YouTube, and especially like, oh, how to build a home theater or how to start in home theater. And everything's about how to build one. And it's like, here, what TV do I get? I don't know, but here's how to build a room. I was like, all right, this is too much. Let's start slow. So I thought I'd hit that market, that niche. And maybe with people being new, I could attract people into not just this podcast, but all of our home theater podcasts, get some new people involved. So I thought that would be cool. Any suggestions, ideas, let me know. And I think the next one I'm going to do is basically like, now, how do you keep things simple? Because I basically said, you got to keep things simple, but how do you do that? What's the best approach? And so I think that they're all, I'm trying to keep them 5 to 7 minute videos, 8 minutes, something like that. So, but that's good advice because I'm trying to keep things simple here. I go to do the Rodecaster Pro, it complicates everything and messes my entire life up for this week. And that's why I'm late. So it's always important to keep things simple. And somehow I screwed that up. So, all right. And then he said, Martin says, LOL, I don't know, but I hope you do a whole series of these. And I just answered that. Yes. and this is Reginald today at Mac Craig on Twitter. He said, at Brightside HT, where is DJ? And you can look on YouTube. This is stamped at 12:06 p.m. And my info comes out at 12 o'clock. But he is also... Reginald was my first Patreon supporter. So Reginald, the Patreon supporters get this as soon as I'm done with it. As soon as I'm done recording this, they get the raw footage right away. So typically that goes out on Tuesdays. Tuesday night, I give them everything. They get the mistakes. They get everything. I don't edit a thing. I just record this podcast and then they get it. And that's it. And they're laughing at me. I talk to them off air stuff and everything like that. But so it is Friday at 12:06 and maybe he got a little nervous. I appreciate it, Reginald. I really appreciate it. It's great when you're missing and people approach. This is what went on at Brightside Chat. John and I took a week off. We told people we're taking a week off, but people don't always see everything. And then bam, we got hit with emails and DMs. Where are you? Where are you? Is everything okay? And it's like, yeah, we're fine. So you guys, everything, I'm fine. Everything's great. As you can hear, I'm here. But yeah, so thanks, Reginald. Thanks for checking in on me, buddy. And emails. I lost a bunch because I got a new phone this week. Carl sent me a bunch. A theater was being shut down. The one, what's the name of it? The one over in California, it's a big theater. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. You know me in my mind. I freeze up on these things. But yes, so it's being shut down. But then he sent me another email that people are getting behind it. So I don't know. I didn't even get a chance to read them before I lost them. So sorry about that. And he also sent one. I think it came today. about the Sony projectors, which I saw on Twitter yesterday talking on Twitter. Sony is coming out with two new projectors in May. They're coming out with their entry-level model and a higher-end model to bookend the three that are already out right now. And I'm really interested in this. It's the 395. It's the number that they're giving now to this entry-level model. That's my wheelhouse, entry-level. And I can... But I have an entry. I have the 295 right now, 4K projector, the Sony 295, and the new one is supposed to have the tone mapping. It's supposed to do some. It's supposed to be a better projector, closer to what the JVCs are. And I'm a huge fan of Sony. Really, really excited for this, and I'm hoping that I can grab one as early as May or June. I would sell my other one, and be able to afford this one and step into that and be able to tell you guys about it. So we'll see. I'm really excited about that. My buddy John over there that writes for Forbes, I was talking with him the other day, or I talked to him when the first three came out. And then this one, now it's, we were expecting this one to be coming. So I'm really excited for it because I need that entry level. I can't afford much over that. And like I said, I love the Sonys. My wife's grandfather, he was a TV repairman back in the day. It was World War II, lost his arm. He had one arm, and he was repairing. That's what he did for a living. And not knowing I'm into home theater, I bought my 32-inch Trinitron back in, like, 91. And he was telling me, he's like, these are the most unbelievable TVs and blah, 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 and all that. And he'd been working on them for years. And just hearing that, it's always rings in my head, Sony's and Trinitron and the picture image. So, yes, JVCs might be better, but my heartstrings are pulling at Sony because of him. So it's all these little things that go in. And I'm proud now that I have a Sony projector. I'm proud to say I have a Sony projector. I mean, there might be better ones out there, but, hey, there are worse, too. So, all right, let's get to... let's move on to this week's featured theater. We don't have one. That's okay. Busy week. I don't even know if I could have put one together. But if you'd like to have your theater featured on the Bright Side Home Theater, just email me. Email me a description of your theater. Email me the pictures, and we'll put them up. I actually, since I've been on YouTube, I don't think I've featured a theater, because now on YouTube I'd be able to put the pictures up and talk about them as we're scrolling through right here on YouTube. So, and all the featured theater pictures go up on the website too, and you get your own column and everything like that. So, I think I should do an update next week, because I've gotten a bunch of pictures from people. So, I'll do that. See, I'm working on next week's show. Keep it simple, Deej. Keep it simple. Let's move along. All right. This week's topic, Monster Hunter in 4K. Great. Fantastic. I can't wait to talk to you guys about this. I'm very excited. I almost just started talking about it, but I can't. Let's play the trailer. I'll probably get, not in trouble, but they demonetize me on YouTube. But that's okay. I don't care about that. So let's play the trailer, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about Monster Hunter.
Captain, do you have any idea what those markers are?
They look pretty ancient.
The tracks end here.
It's definitely Bravo team.
They don't just disappear.
Move, move, move! Watch out!
Where the hell are we?
That lightning, it hit those markers and it took us somewhere.
Gas!
So what? Are we like Guardians of the Galaxy now?
On our six!
Yeah, bros.
Holy shit.
actually above my pay grade.
I don't care what those creatures are. We destroy them and close the gateway.
Yes, ma'am.
From getting us all home.
After that, I want to go watch it again. I'll be right back. No, I that trailer is great. The movie is great. The 4K, I give it 3 boxes of popcorn. The picture, 3 boxes of popcorn. Tremendous. Loads of fun. The sound, 3 boxes of popcorn. Tremendous. Loads of fun. Dolby Atmos. What a blast. No. Okay. Let me give you a little bit more on each. The picture, though, I put way more time into this movie than I was expecting to, because the opening scene, I'm going to get to that after we pop the popcorn, because I went back and forth between the Panasonic and the Zapiti because of the way the image looked. And it's early on in the movie. I'll describe it there. I don't want to give anything away. Let me try to talk you into buying this movie. And again, I'm not an Amazon, what do they call them? I don't know. Person, whatever it is. The people that get money from Amazon. I don't do that. I don't want to do that because I want, this is my opinion. I think if you own a home theater, you need to own this movie. Maybe it's not your cup of tea because it's not mine. This is not my type of movie. This is not my type of genre. I'm not into fantasy. I'm not into these RPG games. It's just not me. So when this came out in the theaters, I was like, oh, maybe I'll see that. And then I was like, you know what? I should own it. So let me check it out and see what I like, if I like it. And I was sucked in right away. I just think it's the image on the screen has unreal black levels. It's just not unreal, but it's very, very good. The contrast is there. There's such bright scenes, but there's such nice black levels inside of these bright scenes. Very vibrant colors, accurate colors too. Like their skin tones, I thought looked really good. I thought when we get into the scenes, I'll talk about it a little bit more, because there's some stuff going on that I'm not sure that I don't want to give it away if you don't know anything about it, anything about the movie. But it's just such a dynamic picture all the way through this movie. A lot of fun. And then the sound, it's, again, awesome bass, tons of discrete sounds, tons of fun just all the way through. There's some sounds that you'll interact with too. You'll be in your room and there's one scene in particular that I know you're going to do this and you're going to look like look up to the left corner of your room and you're going to go back and forth. You're not even going to watch what's on the screen. I'm going to tell you all about it. I'm going to suggest that you do exactly what I just said. And that's look to the backside of your room, because it will track. It's so cool. That was awesome. But there's tons all the way through this movie. It's like tons of discrete sounds, tons of bass too. The dialogue was very clear, and the score was, it had a real video game feel all the way through the movie. Starts out right at the beginning. I mentioned it at the opening scene that we'll talk about in a second. But it almost was like an old school video game too feel. That's what it felt like a Donkey Kong or a ColecoVision type game. But it matched the movie so well. It was like an 80s video game sound to it, but it went so well with this action type movie. It was really, really cool. So the score and all of the sounds, the sound mix, the sound engineers, the sound designers did a fantastic job on this. It is just such an incredible ride from beginning to end. And the entire movie is, I think, 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 23 seconds of home theater watching time is what it came down to. So nice, neat, packaged, quick. It was really, really good. Very, very entertaining and a great home theater experience. Absolutely. So we got the popcorn popping now. Let's get into it. Because that's the noise. So that means we're getting into spoilers, everybody. Popcorn is popping, so let's get into spoilers. All right, the opening scene. Opening credits, we get... All right, let's actually change the image here. Opening credits, we get the a little bit of the monster sounds going on and some room-shaking bass as we're brought right into the world of the monsters. But the opening scene, we have those opening credits, and it's really, really cool. But this scene goes on. It's you know, basically demo-worthy from the opening credits on. It has all the bass, sounds moving all around you, discrepancy between loud and quiet, really nice. And if you put this, or if you show this for somebody, to somebody, right? Like, say you're like, come on out, I want to show you a scene, show off my theater, right? You're going to just put this movie on and it's going to go for like 5 minutes, but you're going to be like, it's so funny because you'll be sitting there and you'll go, oh, well, here, just watch this. And you'll be stuck there. You might end up watching the whole movie. It's that much fun. It's really cool because the opening scene has like literally the very opening from the moment you hit play, but then it just starts going and you're going to get sucked in. And like at 3 minutes and 5 seconds, it's really quiet. But then a creature busted through the deck of the boat, and there's some nice, quiet ambient sounds around you before that, creaking and ropes twisting, I think. And then it just ramps up with some great bass and full room engagement. It was really, really cool. Actually, sorry, let me change the image here on the screen that you're looking at. Yeah, so that's the boat. And then at 8:32, we have a storm on the left, and I gave this one 3 boxes of popcorn because this is a giant storm is chasing the soldiers, and we see the Humvees pass by us on the right, and the sound goes down the right side of the room. Really, really cool. But then the shot moves to a side view, and that's what you see on YouTube right now. And we can see and hear the storm moving in on them from the left to the right. It's really, really nice. But then the storm moves in. The camera moves to in front of the vehicles. And now the vehicles are coming at us. And we can actually hear the storm move deeper into the room and engulf the vehicles and us. And then another cool feature to this scene is the lightning. The lightning strikes at, you know, as this thing is, the vehicles are approaching you, and the lightning strikes first on the left side of the vehicles, then on the right. So it's the left side of your screen, the right side of your screen, and the sound is appropriately placed. It's awesome. It's with everything going on around you, then you get these nice discreet lightning strikes coming in and boom, boom, just really nice on either side of the room. And then at 9:34, slow motion, we go inside the Humvees, and the sound in slow motion of the dirt and the pebbles moving around the room is really, really cool. I apologize to people on YouTube. I don't have an image for this. I thought I had one, but it didn't show up. But it is a pretty cool scene. They do that a bunch in this movie. There's going to be a bunch of slow motion scenes that you get, like all of the sounds are now even more discreet around you because the sound is like, whoa, slowed down like that. I just looked at myself while I said that, and it looked ridiculous. The woo. But anyways, yeah, so that's really cool, the little sounds of the pebbles all around you. I really like that. But then moving to 13 minutes and 7 seconds, I titled this one Bright, and I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn, and it's basically this is for the image. And this is where I went back and forth between the Zapiti and the Panasonic. And these 3 images that I have up here, you can see them on YouTube. They're in the desert. The group is in the desert. They've been chased down. They're looking around for what happened to them. And going back and forth between these images, I wasn't sure. Now, Zapiti just put an update out, and I was like, a couple of things looked, the background kind of looked washed out in the sky a few times. But check out these images on YouTube. And like I said, at 1307 is basically this entire scene. It is a gorgeous set of scenes because you have that white sand, but then the yellow rocks behind them. But check out how dark and how inky black all of the dark scenes are. The guns, the equipment, the vehicles, everything around them. And the third image that I'm showing here, and it's got three rocks in the middle, and you see the two vehicles stuck in the sand. And they're sitting there, and it just, it looks so good. It's such a, all of the light coming off you, watching it on YouTube, seeing the image I'm putting on the screen doesn't do this justice, because all of that light coming at you from that white sand, and look at, even on this image that I have up on YouTube right now, look at the detail that you can even see here in the sand, in the, like the little shadows and stuff that you can see. It just, it's such a great use of HDR, because you have all of that light coming at you, which opens up your eyeballs, your irises are wide open. So that makes those black levels seem even, I don't know how they kept those so dark. I don't know, but it just, it looked so good. And then these images of them. So here we have one of the characters, I don't know who this is, but one of the characters, and he's on kind of the left side of the left third of the screen. And it's all sand. You have a little blue sky up in the top corner, but the gun, the detail, everything. And on my screen, I like I said, I have a 110-inch screen. It's looked so nice. And this through this entire movie, this is what this was like. But I thought this was a great scene to demonstrate what was going on. And I went, like I said, I went back and forth. I watched directly from the 4K through my Panasonic 820 and then went to the Zapiti. And I wanted to make sure I was getting everything pop. And I haven't done this in a while on a movie. I do it for all the Lord of the Rings movies, but I haven't really gone this in depth like I did on this one. There's a scene coming up later that I did it as well, but it just looked so nice. And the Zapiti is fine. It works awesome. Like I said, I've said it before. Dare I say it's better than the 820? Because there's some things that are popping out, and I won't get into that. We're talking Monster Hunter 4K today. But check out these images. Check, like I said, at 13 minutes and 7 seconds, it's a great example of, it's a very different, I don't know if it's a difficult scene. It seems it, because it's so bright, but the inky black levels are so cool. Even through a projector, I can't even imagine what this is going to look like on an OLED. It was so good. So cool. Let's move along, though. Move along to 16 minutes and 35 seconds. We're getting three boxes of popcorn for this one, because this here is a monster moving in, and the room starts to rumble and shake. And what's cool is the sound goes with the camera shot. So the image I have up here on YouTube, you could see the monster coming in at the top left of the screen. That's not a sand dune. That's the monster making its way under the sand. And the sound on this particular shot right here is coming of the monster coming at you is coming from that part of the screen. You can hear it. But then the camera angles are changing all around. And wherever the monster is in relation to what you're looking at, that's where it sounds like. It sounds fantastic. There's even a cool headshot as the sound comes in from the left, top left. It's not this one that's up on the screen, but it comes in from the top left and comes right down the side, top left side of your screen. Really cool, considering how heavy the bass is in this scene. And you get all that directionality. And this scene goes on for about 7 minutes with some awesome discrete sounds around your room, along with the house shaking bass. The picture's fantastic, too. Out in the bright sun, all the great deep blacks, like I was saying before, the colors of their skin, the color of the monster. The monster brings a whole nother level. You're looking at all the different colors there. And you can even make out a little bit of the smoke when the monster is, like, ramping up his power. He opens his mouth. There's one scene here when I was going back and reviewing it. You can even see that little bit of smoke coming out of his mouth as he's powering up. Something I didn't notice on the first viewing, because I hadn't been exposed to that line at the end of the movie. We're in spoilers. So I hadn't been exposed to that line where he says, like, oh, you can see the puff of smoke as they're ramping up. Well, now in this scene, you can see it. It's there. It's a little bit of foreshadowing I didn't even know about. It's just a really fun, another demo-worthy scene. Really great. moving on to 22 minutes and 27 seconds in the caves. And now we go really, it gets dark. And the picture looks great. It looks fantastic. It's another one that I went back and forth with the Panasonic and the Zapedi. It looked so good. And it the black level's really good. And the light, you felt like you were in a dark cave. The grays, all the tones looked really nice. And the view, that's the image that the view of through the scope. That's the image I have up on YouTube. And the picture on YouTube doesn't really do it justice because the graphics for that scope really popped off the screen. You could make everything out, and it felt like that scene, like anything in a video game, like when you look through the scope. It really had that feel to it. But this timestamp also has a nice gunfight. Different guns going off all around you, more tremendous bass, monster sounds all over the place. And I don't mean like monstrous sounds. I mean monsters. They're attacking. And you get all of their sounds. Crystal clear dialogue. And then, like, after they say fall back and the monsters chase them, they come right at you. The monsters come at you. The people run by. The monsters come at you. And all of the sound of the monster footsteps go right through you, over you, and through the back of your room. Really, really cool. At 28:27, flare. They light a flare. So they're talking. She's talking to one of the characters, one of the people in her group. He's been wounded. She lights a red flare and then walks off the screen to the right. And the sound of that flare, the going, goes right off to the right side. Perfect pan, stuck right with appropriately. Even once it's off screen, it fades away like it just keeps on going past where your speaker was. It just perfectly placed to where it should be. Very, very good job. And you know how much I love that. You know how much I love a good pan. At 33 minutes and 27 seconds, wounded, I gave this one box of popcorn. And this is where Mila Jovovich, I knew I'd screw this up. Mila Jovovich. Ha ha, I knew it. I know how to say it, but I get nervous. Mila Jovovich. Yeah, I'm going to call her Mila from here on out. Artemis, she pours gunpowder into her ankle, and then when she lights that, the sounds in your room from the pain that she's in, I really haven't heard anything like that before. It was a very creative way to demonstrate and express the pain that she's experiencing. Like when you're actually in excruciating pain and you close your eyes so hard, you're like, oh, you're in pain. And I just saw it now. I just did it. You see colors, right? Well, they don't show you colors here. They vibrate the screen for you to give you that feel. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the sound. The sound in your room, it was so weird, but it really depicted what it's like to be in excruciating pain. It was really, really cool and very creatively done. It's, again, that's why I gave it a box of popcorn. I might have given it more, but it's kind of a gross scene too. But at 30, I don't know if I'd use this as a demo material for somebody that's squeamish, but it's not too bad. But just the idea and then the pain, it's like 33 minutes, 27 seconds, wounded, one box of popcorn. All right, moving on. So at 34 minutes and 48 seconds, a stone. So this here is where Mila is at the top of a cliff, and she takes and throws a stone over the cliff because she's trying to attract a monster. And the monster bursts through the sand from below. The bass is really cool, of course, but pay attention to the sound around you. The roar of the monster sounds in the surround sounds after he bursts through the front of the stage is really cool. And then the sound of all the sand landing can still be heard all around your room as well. It's subtle, but it's very well done. Very well done. Moving on to 35:45, movement above. I really like this scene. I gave it two boxes of popcorn. Mila is walking through the crevasse, and she can hear the hunter, or she can hear Hunter. That's his name, because that's what she calls him later on when she meets him. But we know him now as Hunter. He's moving above her, just keeping an eye on her. And the image I have on YouTube, you can see he's looking down at her. But the actual sound that we're going to talk about is when she's walking, the camera's following her, and now he's up above. And this is the one that I talked about earlier. It's like he's moving up on, if you look at the picture on YouTube, you can see he's up to her left on the screen here. And then when they come down, the camera comes down behind her and he's moving up and she looks up in that direction. You can hear her, hear him moving on the left side of your room up above. But it starts at the left rear, moves to the left corner, and then halfway down towards the front, then it goes back, right back to where it was. So you're in your theater and you're like, you look to the back of your room and then you pan and I did this. I actually turned my head and I put my eyes, I was looking exactly where it was going and I was trying to be able to, and you can, it's like you can see it, but you can't because it's your room, but the sound is perfectly placed. It's like, this is the one I was going to say, try this. It's really cool. At 35-45, they did such a good job with this. And that's, implementing the overheads, that's implementing your rear channels and your side channels to be able to manipulate the sound like that. It's really a lot of fun. Check that one out. That's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. Really excited about that one. At 38 minutes and 29 seconds, we have the sun setting. This is just a really cool image. So two images here, 38:29 and 38:40. And just another great, great use of HDR. The first image is like the sun isn't all the way set yet. And just a few minutes later, you look at 38:40. It's a few seconds later, and it's even darker now, and you just have that sun in the background. And again, I mean, I think actually I'm looking at the images that I'm posting on YouTube, and they look really nice here. But obviously on the screen, better HDR, better black light, better everything, and they look good here on YouTube. So just really, really cool. Check out that. This goes throughout the movie. There were scenes that I was like, oh, okay, well, I can't talk about everything. But this one here is another great example of how nice the image is. What they did with the sky in the first image I'm showing on YouTube right now, how the sky is like darker towards you and it gets lighter towards the sun. And then the highlights in the foreground of the rock, that yellow, just really coming through on that rock, really looks cool. And then, again, the next image that's a little bit darker, but yet you could still see all that detail and all the trees below, or they're not even trees. They look like trees, but they're the rocks that are coming up out of the ground and still the bright sun in the background, but it's just a little dot now. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. At 49:41, this one here, YouTube doesn't do it justice. The image on YouTube doesn't do it justice. You can see that her eye, this is, I'm sorry. 49:41, Mila's eye, and the color of her eye, how her eye color is like a light green. On my screen, it looked so good. It's stunning. It just really just jumped off the screen to me. And the image on, you could see it on YouTube that like her eye color is a lighter shade of green, but it's not even close to what it looks like on screen. It looks so good. Definitely check that out. 49:41. 51:45, Velcro. Have you ever heard Velcro this clearly? the sound designers were like, we're going to make this Velcro sound better. I'm sorry, pardon me. Hook and loop fastener. Velcro is a brand name. So the hook and loop fastener. But yeah, Velcro. She says Velcro in the movie. 2 boxes of popcorn. 1 overhead triangle. Or red triangle for overhead, because if you don't remember the scene, this is where Hunter's playing with the Velcro and he's just like all entertained with it because he'd never seen it before. So he's just like playing it. And the Velcro is like I said, it sounds fantastic. It's ridiculous how good they made it sound. It's so clear. But why I wanted you to start the scene here is because of the great use of overheads. Right when Mila says, oh man, they're really trying to get in here, and she's looking up, you can hear the monsters coming in, trying to get in your room over your head. It's like you're looking, I mean, it was overhead speakers that right over you, all that creaking sound and everything. It was awesome. Really, really cool. And this is one of those overhead scenes that we all look for. We want to have a nice scene where we demonstrate what our overheads can do. And this is one of them for sure. At 56 minutes and 7 seconds, clock ticking, Hunter and Mueller are setting the monster trap. And this scene has gorgeous sweeping shots of the desert and the rocks, beautiful colors, sharp picture, great detail. But listen to the sound of the ticking clock over your head as it plays all the way until the trap is sprung. So this, I think that's why I set the timestamp right at 56:07, maybe back it up a little bit, 56:05, and you'll hear the clock start to tick, but it ticks over your head. It's really cool. Like right slightly behind you, but over your head, and it just stays there. It like hovers there subtly and then comes in, gets a little bit louder, and then goes away as the scene plays on. And then, you know, I think it just goes away once the barrel is launched, which is the next scene that we're going to talk about. But that one was really cool. Very subtle, but really cool. But then this isn't so subtle. At 56 minutes and 35 seconds. There's my image. Yeah, 56:35. A barrel, 3 boxes of popcorn. And I needed the image because it's kind of important. If you're on YouTube, it's nice to see that if you look at the picture, there's a barrel in the bottom left corner, kind of, you know, a little bit away from the left edge of the screen. But you could see a little barrel there. That barrel is the one that's being launched, obviously. So they launch a barrel. But if you go to 56:35, what you're going to hear is this barrel being launched from the left side of the screen, and it moves perfectly. The sound, that is, moves perfectly and clearly from the front left of your room, whoom, right past you to the right rear of your room. Perfect sound. It even sounds like it's moving further away, like it's soft at the beginning, gets loud, and then goes away. And did they actually reproduce the Doppler effect here and do it very well? Check that out and let me know what you think of that, because I watched this scene over and over and I was like, they did it. It sounds like, you know, that like how you get that. They did that only with the barrel going from diagonally across your room. Unbelievable. It was so cool. Let me know what you think. I was really impressed. Let me know what you think. At 1 hour and 58 seconds, we get a rear pan. I love these things. I love pans. And so she's on top of the monster. She's, leave your brain at the door on this scene, because they keep jumping back and forth between showing her on top of the monster, and she's like trying to shove a spear in the back of his head, but the monster's trying to shake her off like a tick, and he's shaking and crazy, and you see her on top, and I'm like, there is no way anybody would be able to hang on there. But she's also in another world adjacent to ours, reality adjacent, in that has monsters, but ours doesn't, but then it comes through. So, hey, leave your brain at the door. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun, and this movie is fun. And this has a fantastic, at 1 hour and 58 seconds, rear pan, because right when she shoves that spear right into his back of his head, she plunges that in, the sound kind of goes away, and we get a nice pan across the back of your room. I believe it's from left to right behind you. And everybody hit up AV Rant and Tom Andre and tell them, yes, DJ says rear channels are super important. And then you can cite this scene because it went right behind me. It goes from your left side channel, and then your rear channels carry it across behind you to the right rear. If you don't have those rear channels, it's probably just going from your left rear to your right rear, and it never makes it behind you. Still does a nice pan, but not that nice pan that goes behind you, which was really cool. All right, enough on the rear pan. Next week, we'll talk about a bedpan. No, kidding. Just kidding. At 1 hour and 4 minutes even, Mila saving Hunter. Desert storm is raging all around them, and she puts up a survival tent. But the sounds moving around you, your room, are awesome. The bass is awesome. The sand whipping around is awesome. The score is awesome. It's this really, really cool scene. They're in that dark tent, and they actually, when she puts the tent up, they freeze it and they do a completely black screen with no sound. And then they come back into her working on him to save him and give him meds and everything. But the storm going on all around you sounds like it's outside your room. Really cool. Awesome scene. At 1 hour and 6 minutes and 20 seconds, an oasis. This scene is insane. We've been in the desert the whole time, and we had that bright white sand, almost like snow. We had the blue sky there. But now they find this, like, oasis-type place, and it's lush, it's vibrant, it's beautiful. And the image I have on the screen here, it's like there's a little red flower on the left side of the screen, the yellow flower behind Hunter there, and then just all the greens, and it's such a beautiful scene. And this is another one I had to go back and forth between the Zapiti and the Panasonic, because I'm like, wait a minute, I feel like we're blowing out an image here, or maybe am I getting everything I can get out of this? And bam, dead on. It looked so good. I just wanted to make sure it was accurate, because it's like hyper vibrant. It looked so nice. I mean, look at the blue sky behind them. It looks like it's from The Simpsons. The image I have up here on YouTube, it's like a nice blue sky with puffy clouds. It looks so cool. Yeah, but on my screen, all that light coming at us, oh, it looked so nice. So nice. At 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 55 seconds, Ron Perlman drops by. I gave it 3 boxes of popcorn, but not for Ron Perlman dropping in. This is for the HDR. So Artemis and Hunter are being chased. It has fantastic sound, of course, but just before Ron literally drops in, check out the beautiful example of the HDR at exactly 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 58 seconds. And the image here, it's not even close. Doesn't look anything like it on YouTube, but the image on your screen at that time stamp right there, the depth, the blacks, the grays in the smoke, it just looks so nice. It's an overhead shot of them. There's fire up in the like right corner but they're run. It shows them running, and it just looks so nice. You got to check that out. It's like, it reminds me of like Predator and any, or Lord of the Rings, and some of the smokier scenes and the depth that you get because of all those grays and the smoke and everything. Really cool. But then the room bursts open with sound as now Ron drops in. And when he slams his axe into the ground, the sound goes through the room. It starts at the center, but then it goes out like a ring around you. And it sounds really, really cool. That was a lot of fun too. At 1 hour, 14 minutes and 54 seconds, the book, Ron opens a book. Ron Perlman, he's trying to explain to Mila what's going on. And he opens a book, and you open a book and you pull open the cover. And where does the other side of the book drop? On the left side. Where does the sound of the book drop? On the left side of your screen. Simple as that. Sounded awesome. It's subtle. Maybe at anything below reference volume, you might not really pick it up. So check it out. But I loved it. It was very evident to me, really clear, but not super loud. It was totally appropriate. Like, the book landed over there and it landed quietly, and you heard the thump on the left side of your screen. Pretty cool. At 1 hour, 19 minutes and 43 seconds, another overhead, 1 box of popcorn, monsters from above. The group is about to be attacked from above, and the deep bassy sounds of a monster circling above, really nice, very reminiscent of the Nazgul attacking in Lord of the Rings with the circling above there. Nice use of overheads mixed with the bass, giving you that feel, that woof, woof going on overhead. Like, so you have deep bass, but that's not supposed to be localized, but it feels like it's circling over your head. Really, really cool scene there. At 1 hour, 22 minutes and 33 seconds, going home. This one gets 3 boxes of popcorn, and it is a fantastic image, and it's a fantastic scene for sound and everything. But the image here is just, it's awesome. Great colors. The contrast of the dark setting from the fire and the monster. Like, so I keep calling it a monster because, well, there's a bunch of different ones, but the one here is actually, it's a dragon for all intents and purposes. But this is called Monster Hunter, so that's why I've been calling it a monster. But anyways, the monster's breathing fire and is chasing her off the cliff. She dives off the cliff, and you can see on YouTube, it's like the fire going across the middle of the screen. If you look down below, you could see her just below it. Even making it out on YouTube on the image I have up there, you can see her. But then the little lightning pieces above and the light that she's about to jump into, which takes her back to her home reality, whatever you want to call it. Really, really cool. And when she gets into that light, after she goes off the cliff, we get that great experience of in our room of sound with all the deep bass and channels active, and then not. Because once she dives in, now you're seeing everything through her eyes after jumping off this cliff. And it's like you have complete room activation, then nothing, then activation, then nothing, giving you the feeling that your room is falling. It was really an uneasy feeling, but a lot of fun. It's not like I was sick or nervous, but it felt like I was in an elevator that the cable snapped, the lights are going on and off or whatever in the elevator, and I was falling along with her. Just awesome. Awesome scene. Next scene is an image. At 1 hour, 24 minutes and 8 seconds, I just called it Blue Smoke, and it just looks so good. It's just all of the military people are on the ground. They've popped the blue smoke all around. It's just a nice image here. Really cool looking. That blue smoke set against the desert floor and the blue sky above, which is a lighter blue, but you have that like almost purplish. It looks purple here. I felt like it was blue when I saw it on my screen, but really, really cool. Nice image. All right, moving around the room here at 1 hour, 25 minutes and 58 seconds, one box of popcorn and an overhead triangle, because now we're going to back over our heads. So Captain Artemis is in a plane that's had its wings ripped off by a monster because, you know, that can happen. So it's spiraling because one of the wings is broken, or propellers that are on the top of the wings, and it's spiraling to the ground. But the sound spiraling is spiraling around your room, especially when the scene goes inside the plane. And so you get that, like, you now you're seeing her and you can hear that propeller circling around you inside your room, like, because you're inside the plane now. So that propeller goes all the way around your room. And then the plane lands with a great thud. We get silence. And then a monster flies overhead, slightly behind you. It's awesome. Deep bass, but directional and very clearly overhead. But check out that sound going around your room, the sounds over your head, everything. Just a great, great scene for sound. And then at 1 hour, 28 minutes and 23 seconds, under you. So here, I stamped this scene because I think it's a great example of an opportunity we have to expand this home theater experience that we love, right? We have our sides, we have our main channels, our five channels. They're all at ear level. Then we have our overheads. But we don't have anything below that. We have subwoofers, but that's for sub sound. But we don't have anything below ear level in our rooms making sound. And this is where I think there's an opportunity for this. I talked to Tom Andrew about it. I don't know if it was the first time he was on, the second time. But we talked about it, and I thought that would be the next step in the evolution. And this scene here at 128.23 is a great example of it. So it's another plane. I believe it's an AWACS plane that got its wings ripped off, but both of them are ripped off. So now it's just falling to the ground like a missile, and it comes right at you. And that's the image I have up on YouTube. It's coming right at you, but it goes under you. It goes under the screen, like it goes down below the screen. So for all intents and purposes, from your vantage point, it goes under you. How cool would it be if we had, like, at the middle of your room, you had a low set of speakers, and then at the front of your room, you had a low set of speakers, not up high. And then the, you know, object-based surround sound would be able to matrix that and pull the sound down to the ground. So now you would hear something like, you just put some higher pitch voices, sounds down there, and it would sound like it went right under you. And imagine incorporating that with the bass. So we had the bass vibrating your room, vibrating your chair. If you felt like something actually went under you too, like you heard the whoosh, you probably wouldn't even need the channels behind you because your chair would probably be blocking them. And it would be enough that if you just had it pan in front of you really quickly on the sides down low, your brain would think something went under you. So I'm hoping we get that someday. I think that would be a really... really cool. In this scene here, I actually think there's a slight gap in the sound. I mean, it doesn't get quiet by any stretch, but it goes under you, but the sound of it coming at you is just, there's a gap there to me. It's hard to explain because when I say gap, it implies that it like muted, but it didn't. And it's like, but I think there's an opportunity here. That's what I'm hoping that they do that. Keep that whoosh going underneath us. That would be pretty cool. That's just my two cents. Anyways, all right, moving on. At 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 32 seconds, inside the monster. This is weird, but it was so cool, but so gross. We get a view from inside the monster looking at Mila on the ground, but you're inside the monster's mouth. And the sound of the mouth opening is all around you. So, like, imagine being a bug in your mouth, and, like, the spit that you can, like, the saliva spreading apart, it makes a noise, right? Like, but it's going on all around you, like you're inside this monster. It was so gross, but cool. It's so awesome. Oh, that, how do they come up with it? All right, we're the sound designer's sitting there. All right, we're inside. What can we put here? Hey, let's put the sound of saliva stretching apart. All right, go with it, Jim. Like, what? Oh, all right. At 1 hour, final scene, there's so many scenes in this movie. I know I missed a bunch. I didn't miss them. They were there. I saw them, but I can't talk about everything as much as I try. At 1 hour, 30 minutes and 28 seconds, final scene I'll talk about. Monster on the right. 3 boxes of popcorn because this brings everything together. We get a great image. We have a little tiny Mila down on the ground. We have a big giant dragon monster attacking her. Blue sky, fire, everything. Detail in the monster. But the sound... your room is totally alive with sound here. And then the shot goes to this, where you're looking at the side of them. And you have Mila on the left, and you have Monster on the right. And you can hear Mila scream on the left, and you can hear the monster roar on the right. It's awesome. The whole room, amazing mix, considering how the entire room is engaged. You're vibrating in your seat. It's like the climax of the movie here. It's just a tremendous, tremendous home theater experience. The entire movie was at a tremendous home theater experience. I mean, like I said, this movie isn't my cup of tea. It's not something that, like, I'm not into the video game movies, like I said earlier. I'm not into fantasy type stuff, but this movie, it just is a great home theater experience. And I really think that if you keep that frame of mind, if it is your cup of tea, you're going to like it even more. It might be your favorite movie ever, for all I know. I don't know. The story isn't my favorite story. I do like it. I was entertained. But the experience that I just described, the experience I had going through this movie, it actually was the highlight of my week, to be honest with you, with everything that went on. So much demo-worthy material, so much fun. So it's just it's a popcorn movie. And isn't that what this is all about? Really? So let me know your thoughts. Really appreciate it. But yeah, thank you very much, everybody. That's it. Let's get to the end here. And we'll wrap things up because I've got to get this out to you guys. I'm sorry it's late. But hey, people that are watching this a year from now, they're like, it's not late. It's the first time I've ever seen it. Thank you to my 13 Patreon supporters. Got my fingers crossed for 14 next week. As soon as this goes out, maybe by tomorrow. Maybe by tomorrow I'll have 14. I'd really appreciate it. It costs you a buck to get me off this number. But if you see I'm already off it, don't hesitate. And thank you to Justin for following me on Twitter. And all week, you can talk to me all the time, BrightsideHT. You can email me, brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Check out everything on the website, brightsidehometheater.com. And don't forget, YouTube. You can go there and hit subscribe. I really appreciate that. Like I said, that's growing leaps and bounds. Hopefully, we're bringing in more people into the home theater community with my home theater simple type idea, whatever it is. But thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week, and go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.